Welcome to this Europe à la carte podcast, giving you tips for things to do in the English city of Plymouth. I'm Karen Bryan, the founding editor of Europe à la carte, where you'll find lots of travel tips about the best places to visit in Europe. In this 5-minute podcast, I'll summarise Amanda Kendall's recent post. Now, the English city of Plymouth, which lies on the south coast of Devon, stands tall in Britain's maritime history, being home to Sir Francis Drake and the place where Captain James Cook set off for his discovery of Australia. But Plymouth is not only an interesting place for travellers interested in ships and exploration. The city has been reinventing itself with new restaurants and bars and trying to rectify the not-so-beautiful concrete construction era from the rebuilding after the World War II bombings. Amanda has put together this list of tips for things to do in Plymouth. So starting off with the maritime sites. Even for those not particularly historically minded, the story of Sir Francis Drake finishing a game of lawn bowls before heading off to fight the Spanish Armada tends to stick in mind, and Plymouth Hoe is the very place where this game of bowls was played. Next to Plymouth Hoe, standing around 70 feet tall, so impossible to miss, you'll find Smeaton's Tower. This lighthouse was actually originally built out on a reef, but was moved to its current location, brick by brick, in the 1880s. Today it includes exhibits on previous lighthouse keepers, and you can also climb it for views over Plymouth and the surrounding sea. You can also take a boat tour around Plymouth's impressive harbour. Most tours leave from the Mayflower Steps in the Barbican, and you can see such sights as the dockyard used by the Royal Navy and Brunel's Bridge. Speaking of the Navy, the largest naval base in Western Europe is located in Plymouth, and sometimes you can visit the Royal William Yard Naval Base when it opens to the public on specific naval days. Now, there are a few interesting museums to visit in Plymouth. The Plymouth Mayflower Exhibition starts with views over the Barbican from the top floor and has 3 floors of interactive displays detailing the maritime and military history, with Sir Francis Drake's circumnavigation and the epic Pilgrim Fathers' voyage to the New World aboard the Mayflower obviously getting top billing. The City Museum and Gallery of Plymouth includes touring exhibitions as well as some permanent ones on Darwin's big voyage, yes, he left from Plymouth too, and natural history galleries. Be aware that it's usually closed on Sundays and Mondays. The Merchant's House dates back to the early 1600s and has a museum of social history, replicas of old shops and a Victorian era schoolroom. It's also one of the best examples of 17th century architecture in Plymouth. Now, the Tinside Lido is an Art Deco swimming pool beneath Plymouth Hoe, dating back to 1935. It was closed for some time, but has been renovated and heritage listed in the 1990s, and you can now swim there between May and September. I must say, it does look lovely. The Plymouth Dry Gin Distillery is the oldest working distillery in England. That's reason enough to visit. It supplied gin to the Royal Navy way back in the early 1880s. Today you can take a tour through the production area, get some samples, and then have a little more to drink in the bar. Opposite the Barbican, the National Marine Aquarium is a little different from other aquariums, as it's a not-for-profit entity with a little more focus on education than others, but it's still entertaining. It's also the deepest aquarium in Europe and is considered by many to be Britain's finest. Well, I do hope that you've enjoyed our whirlwind tour of the English city of Plymouth. You can read the post in full and see the photos at www.europealacarte.co.uk/blog. You can also subscribe to the podcast in Audioboo or iTunes. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.